Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
It really does occupy a unique place in the American medical landscape, doesn't it? What other drug is so widely prescribed for so many things and so widely used? A drug that, if its short and long-term consequences were evaluated by today's standards of, say, the Food and Drug Administration, without all of the other political agendas and the agenda of the sexual revolution, it may not even make it to the shelves even as a prescription drug. It has carcinogenic effects. There is definitely a medical double standard on the birth control pill. We'll be talking about it here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Katie French Talento will be our guest for the first few minutes. Then Pastor Tom Baker will join us, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with him for the remainder of the hour on both the baptism and the temptation of Jesus in Mark's first chapter there. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, please avail yourself of the Issues Etc. comment line whenever you're listening, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the medical double standard on the birth control pill, Katie French Talento, an epidemiologist, a former U.S. Senate staffer, and author of a recent article for The Federalist titled, Ladies, Is Birth Control the Mother of All Medical Malpractice? Katie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. How are you?
Very well. How does the medical community view or treat the birth control pill differently than most other drugs?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, there really is a double standard. I would say that, you know, the first thing that any woman does when she goes in, she's got symptoms related to menstruation, is she gets a prescription for birth control. And, you know, if you came in with symptoms for cancer, they wouldn't just treat your symptoms. They'd run a series of tests and try to diagnose you. But nobody ever tries to diagnose a woman's cramps or her PMS or her irregular cycles, but these are all symptoms of more serious diseases. Instead, we just treat those symptoms with birth control pills, often for years or decades. Meanwhile, your fertility is being undermined, your overall health could be undermined for all those years, so that when you're really ready to have a child and you stop taking the pill, you find that you can't. Or that you've developed a breast cancer because of the carcinogenic effects of the pill all those years.
You point out something that ought to go without saying, but it certainly doesn't, and that is that pregnancy itself is not an illness and it's not a disease. Why is that so important for understanding this issue?
Well, I would say that, you know, every doctor is trained from the first year of medical school in basic epidemiology. And epidemiology is the discipline whereby we learn to judge measured risks and trade-offs of different treatments for different diseases. And the problem is that you've got diseases that have very serious risks if they go untreated. But the treatments also have risks. And, I mean, anyone who's ever held the hand of somebody going through chemotherapy knows that, you know, the treatment's almost as bad as the disease. But we accept those risks and those side effects because the disease is worse. In this case, there is no disease. There's no disease. Pregnancy is not a disease. Pregnancy is a sign of health. And so we shouldn't be trying to medicate away pregnancy. There are other ways to avoid pregnancy and to space children's birth if necessary and appropriate. If a family or a woman wants to do that, you don't have to ingest a bunch of carcinogens in order to plan your family.
So in other words, you're saying that an epidemiologist, which is kind of at the bottom of a lot of medical training here, at the root of a lot of medical training, is the task.
That's right.
It's a task of balancing risks of treatment against risks of letting things go untreated. And if you let pregnancy go untreated, all you get is a baby. You don't risk anyone's life.
Right. And you'll hear, Todd, a lot of the pushback. They'll talk about the risks of mortality from pregnancy-related complications. And so you hear, well, a woman can't get pregnant if she doesn't want to get pregnant because, gosh, pregnancy is dangerous. Well, actually, pregnancy is less dangerous in America than it has ever been through millennia of pregnancies. And so we have so many great first-tier medical centers that can prevent all kinds of complications from pregnancies. Pregnancy is health. Delivery is health. It's safe. It's been going on for millennia. And it's not that, you know, I don't want to say to a woman, you have to have babies. So that's not what I'm saying. There are other ways. There are research-supported ways, scientifically superior ways to monitor your fertility, to look for the biomarkers that your body is giving you every day of every month to show when you're fertile so that you can abstain on that day. It's only one day every month. And these methods, you know, it's not your grandmother's rhythm method anymore. These have been really revolutionizing women's health. There's some research coming out of Creighton University and Marquette Universities that are showing much better outcomes when it comes to planning and managing and working with and cooperating with a woman's fertile cycles that are much better than the pill, which has a dramatic failure rate.
So what are your concerns about the pill itself? And in terms of, you mentioned before, its carcinogenic effects.
Sure. I mean, the World Health Organization has classified hormonal contraception as a group 1 carcinogen. Other group 1 carcinogens include tobacco and asbestos, which are highly regulated. And, you know, the public health community goes to great lengths to try to talk people out of being exposed or exposing themselves to those carcinogens. There's no class of carcinogen that's greater than a group 1 carcinogen. And that's what we're throwing into women, the majority of women of child-rearing age have been on or are on these contraceptives, these carcinogens.
What about the effects of the pill on long-term effects on fertility? You mentioned before a woman who is on the pill for years or decades then goes off and finds out that her fertility has been affected.
Right. So perhaps one of the most insidious ways that the long-term use can affect your fertility is simply by masking the problem. So, you know, we've been taught since we were little girls that, gosh, that monthly period is supposed to be painful and you're going to be cranky and you're going to have cramps, you're going to have PMS, you might have missed cycles, all that's totally normal. And it's not normal. It's actually pathogenic. And these are symptoms of a lack of health in your reproductive system. And what I found just from my own personal experience as an anecdote here is it was so much easier for me to manage those symptoms by going on the pill and shortening my cycle every month or even not having, skipping my cycle every month. There are now products where you don't have to have a period all year round. And gosh, that's nice because gosh, nobody likes going through those symptoms. So it was just easier and less complicated for me to be on the pill for decades. And by the time I was ready to have children and I got off the pill and I wanted to find out, I started charting my daily and monthly biomarkers to try to see when I was fertile. I realized, gosh, I've got a lot of irregularities. I've got a lot of problems. And it took me months and months with very well-trained physicians to try to sort this out. Went through lots of tests. Most women never get the answers because so many obstetricians have not been trained in these methods. They've just been told, you have this symptom, you give this pill, And that's the end of the problem. And it really is a temporary end of the problem for so many women. But the problem comes in the end when, gosh, that endometriosis has been creeping around the uterus for a decade or two. Or, gosh, that polycystic ovarian disease is growing, and now your ovaries are covered in cysts, and it requires major surgery to resolve if it can be resolved at all. So letting disease just fester while you mask it with a Band-Aid of symptom relief is an unacceptable medical solution in any other condition except for the one we're talking about.
So coming back to the issues of epidemiology, do you believe that the average medical professional, the average OBGYN or doctor, is fully aware of all of these issues surrounding hormonal birth control?
Absolutely not. These things are not being taught. And I know because the providers and the groundbreaking researchers, especially at Creighton University, but also at Marquette and elsewhere, they run these training centers desperately trying to get providers to come into these training programs and learn how to teach women these methods, because it requires a woman to daily chart her biomarkers to understand what's going on with her cycle before that information can then be transmitted to the provider. The provider then has to know how to read those markers and draw conclusions and order the right tests at the right time of the month. And it's very complicated. It's hard. It's much easier to just go on the pill and make it all go away. And so providers, I mean, honestly, it's only in the Catholic provider world for the most part where this has gone on because of the longstanding teaching against contraception. Unfortunately, it's just not mainstream OBGYN practice to practice these technologies and these approaches, and they're not being taught. There's one provider out of Richmond who I saw quoted saying she was so angry when she found out about this because she went through her entire training without ever hearing about it and how many patients she could have helped along the way. And the training takes a while, and if you're already in practice and you have a busy clientele, you can't just go away for 3 months and learn how to do these diagnostics and surgeries with the experts. It's very difficult, and it's hard to make change, but it is happening, and there is hope on the horizon.
If the birth control pill and other forms of hormonal birth control, if they had not been invented yet, and just now the medical community was looking at it, the FDA was looking at it, laying aside, if we could, all other political factors that obviously are driving the popularity of these things today, but if we could lay all those other things and just look at the medical issues surrounding that drug, would it have a hard time getting into the hands of the average woman?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at how other carcinogens are treated by the FDA. You can't give tobacco to children. You can't even advertise tobacco on a TV program that children might see. The FDA will have none of this. And they're extremely demanding and exacting on any other carcinogenic compound. So independent of the politics, independent of the ideological issues, there's no way the birth control pill or other hormonal contraceptions, such as IUDs and the NuvaRing, Depo-Provera shots, there's no way that these would get through, that they would pass the test, that they'd make the cut.
So finally, how would you summarize it for our listeners? What are your basic concerns about the medical double standard that is at work when it comes to the birth control pill?
Well, I would say that the medical community has long treated pregnancy as a disease, as a danger to women, as an oppressor of women. And if women are to be free and healthy, they need to avoid pregnancy at all costs. And I would say to any woman who's experiencing symptoms or and that the birth control pill might help with, or she just is sexually active and does not want to get pregnant and doesn't think it's the right time for her or her family, please ask questions. Ask a lot of questions of your provider. Ask about the cancer risk. Ask about the reasons for your symptoms. What are the reasons? These symptoms are not normal. If your provider gives you the answer that these are normal, many women have them, that is not an acceptable answer. It's a sign of ignorance. And move on. Find a different provider.
Katie French-Talento is an epidemiologist, a former U.S. Senate staffer, and author of a recent article for The Federalist titled, Ladies, Is Birth Control the Mother of All Medical Malpractice? You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Katie, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
Folks, in just a couple weeks, they're going to hold the LCMS Life Conference. That's January the 22nd through the 24th, right there in Washington, D.C. Issues Etc. regular guests will be featured there as speakers. Pastor Matt Harris and Dr. Robert George, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, and Carol Tobias. It's going to be held in conjunction with the 2015 National March for Life on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Find out more about the LCMS Life Conference, January the 22nd through the 24th in Washington, D.C. at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the LCMS Life Conference logo right there. You'll find all the information that you need. When we come back, we're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, covering just a few verses in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, but two big events, the baptism and the temptation of Jesus. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.